I heard you can make your own alien races in Star Trek Online.
How would that work?
I don't know, but I know that you would be a vaginian.
Did you really just...
From the planet Vagina.
Did you really just sit here thinking that up?
Oh, man. We're done. That's good. That's good. You're a vaginian.
Hi.
You're just like, staring at me. Like, well, okay. Usually, what am I supposed to say?
Usually you introduce us.
I guess I'm Mike. This is AJ. What do I have to introduce? It's not big surprise this week, guys. You'll never guess who's on. My brother AJ's here. Man, this is exciting. It's
exciting to be here.
It's me and AJ, like always. And we're going to do our normal show. We're going to do the news. After that, we're going to talk. Well, I guess we're going to do the quiz, right?
Yep.
Great Canadian Mike Source quiz. I lost last week on the first try.
Yep.
So, am I going to win this one, AJ?
I don't know. I think you got a shot.
I hope so. Then after that, we're going to talk about our weekend gaming, what we've been playing, that kind of thing. Going to get into the downloadable game releases, normal game releases. Going to look at the top 10 list. And then we're going to get into the mail barrel.
Yep.
Is that the whole show? Did I leave anything out?
I don't think so.
All right.
Okay. On the news, we begin once again with the biggest news story of 2008, Mega Man 9.
There's new Mega Man 9 news?
Yeah, this came out last week. You probably didn't realize it.
Oh, but, this came out a while ago. I didn't realize we didn't talk about this yet.
No. They have announced that all three versions of the game will include optional NES-style glitches, such as flickering and slowdown and... all that great stuff.
Man, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm sure like some people you included are really happy about that. I was kind of wondering if they would
try it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that it's optional. Like, I just want to keep going back and forth. Just like, it'd be weird, actually, be playing like an NES-looking Mega Man game and not have like the flicker and the slowdown.
Have it like just run really well.
Yeah, I think that would be strange, so I'm kind of glad it's there. All right, I move on now to World of Warcraft news, which I try not to bring up too much because there's a lot of it. But I thought these two things were worth mentioning. First, they have a kind of revamped recruit-a-friend system. If you could get someone who's brand new to the game to buy it and pay for 2 months, first of all, you yourself can get a Zevra mount, which is very exciting.
What's the Zevra mount?
The Zevras were the kind of zebra-looking things in the Barrens.
You can get a mount for doing this.
Yes.
A whole mount?
Yeah, I think it's just like it has the same speed stat as a basic mount. The big thing, though, is this: whoever this friend is that you bring to the game, you can summon them to your character. And when you two are questing together, both of you get triple experience to level 60 on both quests and monsters. So jeez. If you could say to a friend, hey, listen, why don't you start playing Warcraft? I'll build a new character with you. We'll zip through 60 real quick and then go to all the cool stuff in Outland. Like, you could probably do it in, like, less than a week if you're going triple speed.
Right. Yeah, they really want people to get to level 60. Huh?
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is they announced a bunch of achievements that are going to be in the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. And the good news is, where possible, they will be retroactive. Because I think there's ones, like, fully exploring the map and things like that. You don't have to go do it all over again.
Right. And they said there's going to be, like, these Blizzard-style achievements in...
StarCraft
2
and yeah. And
interesting
Diablo
how they're just called achievements, too.
Yeah, they don't. You know, it's okay.
It probably gets copyrighted.
No. So now we got some Wii news. First of all, the Harmonix said at E3, they were vague on the details, but they did say that the Wii version of Rock Band 2 will be quote-unquote full-featured.
Well, I guess that what details would there be?
Well, one could, like...
the other one would, then.
Yeah, but it's just the only thing is, then, they still haven't really solved the question of space restrictions on DLC. I mean, like buying a Rock Band album on Xbox, I think, is like 300 to 500 megabytes, which is the entire Wii internal memory.
Well, you gotta get a lot of flash drives.
Yes. And then a very exciting Wii hack has been released. For those of you who have the Wii Homebrew channel, you can download this hack that you could go search for. It removes the health warning screen at the beginning of the system boot, and I think of games. That's nice. Removes the menu music if you're sick of that. But the big one. It removes copy protection and region protection from all Wii, GameCube games, and all the channels.
Oh, I could play my Japanese Luigi's Mansion then?
On your Wii.
Wow.
Yep. That's pretty exciting.
I need to bust that out somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta find my Japanese on Mario Sunshine. That'd be awesome.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, especially since the freeloader kind of got beat by firmware, even though it said it wouldn't.
Right.
So now the burnouts. I feel like I don't talk about this every week, but...
Yes, you do.
I know. Well, the bike pack has now been slated for September. Kind of a not too surprising slight delay there. But they also did announce that also part of that update, in addition to the day-night cycle, will be full weather implemented into the game, which could be fun.
Is there going to be tornadoes?
Ooh, that'd be sweet.
That'd be cool.
So GameTap is actually in a bit of trouble right now. They are up for auction after Time Warner has kind of just decided they didn't want to own the division
anymore. I hope someone buys this so I can finish Fallout.
Yeah. Although, and that leads nicely to something I forgot to list here, but worth saying, the website goodoldgames, or GOG.com, has announced that although their beta will be starting a little later than usual, everyone who signs up for it will get in. So you should go to GOG.com, sign up for the beta. What it is, it's a service that will sell older PC games fully compatible with XP or Vista for anywhere from like $6 to $10, including all the Fallout games I saw listed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good, but still, I like GameTap's library. I hope they don't go down.
Right. The GameTap execs seem confident that someone will have interest in the company and pick it up.
Okay, good.
EA is offering a downloadable, self-printable cover insert for Madden 09 since Brett Favre has decided to unretire and join the Jets, whereas the boxes that are probably already sitting in store shelves, or store backrooms rather, have him in a Packers jersey.
What are you going to do?
Whoops. have you been watching anything at all about Madden? Like,
no.
I know you don't care that much.
Why? What do you want to say about Madden?
I don't know. I'm strangely interested in it. The demo just like was so like there wasn't like enough there to judge anything from it. But it sounds like they're putting out a lot of new stuff in the game this year.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
If you say so.
It does this thing where if you like screw up a play, it will actually analyze what you did wrong, show you, and then show you what you should have done. So you can actually try to like learn football. But the thing is something Madden never did well. Like, I never said, like, you know, here's how to actually play football.
I guess so, if you're looking for a football sim, I don't know.
But, like, I understand, tutorial. Like, the basics of football, but I just never understand, like, when I should be running, like, a nickel as opposed to a 4-3 and, like,
what?
Stuff like
what
that.
What are you talking about?
There are different defense packages. It's... See, you're even worse.
Oh, yeah, because I don't care.
Well, yeah.
This is Madden.
Okay.
Madden football. Man, this time is going to be great. Just keep going.
All right. The home beta is accepting more applications. To get in, all you have to do is log into the PlayStation Store and download a home theme.
I did this.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I got to do it with my account just to
so there are people in this. This home beta is real, right? People are
it's
in it right now.
It's been going on for like a year.
What are these people doing at home?
I don't know. They're not. It's all NDA'd. And they're not like they just announced they're going to soon, although soon can mean like a couple months. Start finally letting press into it. Like, press isn't even in this beta. It's just, like, a few select users who are NDA'd. So, like, if they're going to start letting press in, it leads to believe that it's, like, getting close to being done. Or at least getting to the open beta stage.
Right.
Anyway, they better hurry. So you pre-ordered Fable 2 last week.
Yes, I did not get the collector's edition.
Yeah, you were offered it. Well... You might want to change your mind.
Oh,
because
why?
one of the unique armors to the collector's edition looks like Master Chief.
I saw that.
It's actually kind of clever looking.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like a leather green outfit that looks like Spartan.
I mean, if I was
armor.
A big Halo fan, I bet it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not
true.
Though. So.
That's also true.
What else comes with that collector's edition? Do you really know? I know
even...
there's like a bonus CD of like the making of thing.
Yeah.
What's the making of things on video games? This is how we made the video game.
It's
they're usually not very interesting.
I like some.
They're
of them.
Usually not that well put together.
I like the Oblivion one. I didn't like the Metal Gear one.
Metal
I fell
Gear
asleep.
One was kind of weird.
I fell asleep.
A lot of like, it's just, it was weird.
Yeah. So today in Las Vegas, to conclude the Star Trek convention, Cryptic Studios took the stage with Leonard Nimoy in tow to give some details on Star Trek Online.
Who owns this game now? Cryptic?
Cryptic.
Who, they bought it from Perpetual.
Yes, and basically from what they said, they not only are they not using anything from what Perpetual had developed, they said there was basically nothing there worth using. Like,
really?
Like, so apparently this game was not very far along at all. Although they said you'd be surprised how far along it is now, implicating that it might be, like, hitting a beta soonish.
That'd be nice.
They show like a very brief gameplay trailer that really just amounted to a bunch of ships blowing up.
Is there like, you see characters? You see the HUD?
I don't know. I actually haven't seen it yet. I missed the live broadcast because okay. we were seeing Step Brothers.
Check out game trailers.
Like, yeah, but basically the quick details that they released. The time setting is like a few generations after Star Trek Nemesis, which like kind of
like 100 years.
I don't know. It was in the year 24 something.
Okay, yeah, but that was kind of the plan for the original Star Trek Online.
Yeah, it's kind of their way of dodging that problem like Star Wars Online has, where like if you don't do this, everyone's going to be expecting like running into Kirk and
everything,
or Picard or whoever, like whatever setting they pick.
Right, I understand that.
You're going to be able to create characters from existing races or create entirely new races.
That's weird.
Which is weird, yeah. It's
just a strange idea.
What they're doing is they're putting like a lot of planets in this game and like. With the hope that like you yourself may become the first person to discover this planet,
and yeah.
Then you can actually now, if I remember my Star Trek lore correctly, this seems to go against Prime Directive number one. But they said you could then go onto the planet and recruit its inhabitants onto your crew.
Ooh,
but aren't you like not supposed to do that if you just discovered a planet?
If it's a pre-warp culture, yeah, you're not allowed to talk to them. Maybe they're all warp cultures?
I guess.
I hope so. Yeah, maybe the Klingons wouldn't care, that's for sure.
That's true.
I can see the Klingons doing something like that.
Yeah, well...
Like, kind of interesting idea. Like, if I make a new race, like, am I going to have a home planet? That look just like my
maybe
new race?
Maybe that would be a way they could, like, randomly create these planets.
It'd be pretty cool if I make a race...
And then it gets a planet somewhere.
And then it gets a planet filled with people that look kind of like me.
That's almost like Spore creature creating level stuff.
I don't
think
it's going to happen.
No.
You know what? The idea of there being... I'm not upset about, but like, oh, there's all these races we haven't heard of. Because there's always a new Alien of the Week thing in Star Trek. There's a lot of aliens. Yeah. So that's fine. I just want to see about the thing that kind of confuses me is that there are two factions. And the one is Klingon and one is the Federation.
Federation, Klingon. Like, I don't see how it could be anything but a Klingon in the Klingon faction.
Yeah. And like... Is there PvP? Are these two factions warring with each other?
It's possible, since it's set later. A war could have broken out. They said more factions will come. They gave the Romulans as an example.
Playable factions?
Yeah.
Oh, will come in like...
Like expansions or patches or what have you.
See, then the Romulans, it's just the Romulans.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand how that'll work.
It should have... I don't... See, I just... It doesn't need to be a PvP game, and I wish that they wouldn't make it one.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be PvP focused.
Also, they talked about like you captain a ship, though you're not necessarily a captain, like because you could captain a ship and not be like be a lower. You can be in charge of a ship and not be captain. You can be a lieutenant. You have to work your way up to get the bigger ships. You get an
How is the command structure working in this?
You
game?
Get like an AI crew that's almost like pets. That handle all your subsystems, so you can either directly command them or the AI will take over.
Now, is everyone in the game a command then?
Yeah, every player character is in charge of a ship. Everybody gets a ship. You don't play as like a tactical officer.
So like, you can't be like, what's your classes then? Are there any?
I think it just depends on the type of ship you pick.
So okay, so it's not like before, like you can be an engineer, you can be a science officer.
Right? No, that's all gone.
Okay. That's bad.
Then like you get like your ship comes with a certain number of red shirts basically that you take with you. For your planetary missions. Planetary missions play out more like a standard MMO, range combat, melee combat. And so maybe there's like class choices there too. Like, are you more of a melee fighter or range fighter? Stuff like that.
Melee Federation melee fighters, huh?
No, if you're a Klingon, you've got what's it called?
Botleth.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. I still got it.
Yep.
I'm trying to stay I'm not pessimistic, optimistic.
Yes. So hard for you.
Yes. I liked the idea of the original Star Trek Online.
Yeah,
and it came from it.
It sounds like, it was pretty much just ideas.
Yeah. There's some nice art that they had.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
But you don't know, like, what races you can just play from the beginning? Is that out there? You just don't know?
I don't, it might be, I didn't
I
see
I
want
to be an Andorian.
It's possible. I don't see why they wouldn't be there. I mean, with such a variety of character-created races, I don't see why it wouldn't have all the...
They say what quadrants we can go to? Alpha and Beta, I take it?
You're taking us too far.
What? These are important questions.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, this is a long time in the future. Maybe we've gotten past Warp 10 speed.
Yeah, that could be.
Not crazy theoretical Warp 10 from that bad episode of Voyager where you're everywhere at once if you're at Warp 10. Then you turn into lizards. It was a funny episode.
I'll say. interesting.
Yes. You should have seen the look on his face when I was talking about
it. Yeah, I was quite aghast.
The thing about the possibilities, though, and then you can go visit all the Delta Quadrant races
from Voyager.
All the Gamma Quadrant races from Deep Space Nine, including the... See, if they want to do PvP, it would be cool if you kind of bring back the Dominion. Because that was just another group of... It was kind of, the Dominion was sort of the antithesis of the Federation. That antithesis. It was a group of aliens. What?
It's the antithesis.
That, you say antithesis?
That's how it's pronounced.
I've never heard that word pronounced.
Oh.
You know, why not just antithesis?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Some people don't say antithesis?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. It's fine then.
Okay.
But the Dominion, well, that'd be cool. Of course, people wouldn't know those aliens as well.
Right.
But it'd be neat. Okay. Move ahead.
So Nintendo has given Miyamoto a kind of a hush-up order. He's not allowed to talk about his hobbies anymore.
Well, what's this? Why?
They're afraid that he will, by talking about his hobbies, give away game ideas to other developers.
Oh?
Yes, because like every game he makes comes from his hobbies. Like, Pikmin came from his love of gardening. Wii Fit came from his sudden interest in fitness. Zelda came from his love of exploring the woods as a child. So they're
strange philosophy.
Yeah, so they're really afraid that like people are going to get game ideas by listening to Miyamoto's hobbies that they cannot use themselves.
Okay, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. And then finally on the news docket, ex-Flagship Seattle members, the guys who are working on Mythos, have reformed into their own new company called Runic Games. They plan on working on action MMOs. They will not, in all likelihood, regain the Mythos license. That's probably lost. And as some of the members have said, it's really not that big a deal because it was a pretty generic license. You have to remember that game was really created as a network test and then just kind of got expanded to a full game.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I mean, like, the game itself, when I played it was fun, but yeah, it was pretty generic fantasy. Except the goblins had cigars. That was kind of cool.
Okay.
But yeah. So, yeah, there you go.
Interesting roundup. Why don't you tell everybody what the quiz is all about?
Okay, so for those playing along at home, the Great Canadian Mike Zor's Gaming Quiz is kind of like the 5 questions that I asked Mike, along with a bonus. If he gets them all right, he regains the Great American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz next week. For those of you who watched last week, Mike got it back and lost it in 1 week.
Yes. So
that was exciting.
To my great shame. So as soon as you're done texting people on your phone, why don't we do this?
Okay, here we go. Question number 1. What is the name of Vin Diesel's development studio? Guys who worked on the Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, and the upcoming The Wheelman.
He has his own development studio?
Yeah.
What?
I thought you knew this.
No, I don't know this. What, you think I'm some sort of Vin Diesel stalker?
I don't know.
Diesel Incorporated.
No, it's Tygon Studios.
Tygon? Yeah, never heard of it.
Okay.
Off to a bad start.
Number 2. What wrestler recently said he'd like to see more violence in video games?
What wrestler recently said this?
Yeah, this happened this week. Saw it on 411.
Saw it on 411, huh?
And other places.
Oh, God. I don't know. Actually, someone weird saying stuff like that. Well.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It's someone who's had some time on his hands.
He's had some time on his hands. Oh, I don't know. Who's injured? Someone who's had some time on his hands. Tick, tick. I don't know. Was it Randy Orton?
You are correct!
Yay.
All right, you got a point.
Why'd he say that?
I don't know. He was basically saying that he feels actually the level of violence in video games isn't up to like what you see in like a rated R movie or even a PG-13 movie. And he's got the same complaints a lot of people have that like, you know, the stuff happening in video games isn't nearly as bad as what happens in like a movie like Hostel or Saw.
Right.
So, I mean, the same old argument, just because he's famous, he gets news. Number 3. What affectionate nickname have gamers given the original Xbox controller?
Oh, the other one was the, was it Big Bertha?
Nope. What old Duke. It? Or old Big Duke. Duke, I would have accepted.
No, I haven't heard that.
Oh, you haven't heard that?
Yeah.
That's pretty appropriate.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I knew there was a nickname for it. So I can't win.
No.
Goody.
Number 4. What is the highest number of enemies that could be on screen at any given moment in an NES Mega Man game?
3.
Correct. The number that's still being maintained for the upcoming Mega Man 9. How many Microsoft points equals $1?
Okay, the game is... An 800-point game is $10. Oh, crap, I can't do this right now. Okay, a second. 400 is $5. Half of that is 250, that's 200. Half of that is...
You're making this way harder than it should be.
Well, it's weird. Wait a second. Oh. Shit. 75.
No, 80. If 800 is 10, lop off a zero from each one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you almost had it.
Well, you brushed me at the end by making fun of me. I was working on some logic.
Your bonus question.
Yeah.
How many iterations of the PlayStation brand controller have there been across all three hardware generations?
I don't know. There's original, the DualShock, DualShock 2, 6-axis, DualShock 3, 5.
Nope, 6.
Like, what the
Remember,
hell?
They did a dual stick one that didn't have rumble before the DualShock?
I do not remember that. Well, now I kind of do. It has weird grooves in the analog
stick.
Yeah,
and it let you like pick like flight stick mode.
What?
Like, if you put on the green light instead of the red light, it simulated, like, the PlayStation flight stick that was out at the time.
What does that mean? What? How?
I don't know. It turned the analog stick like it was the flight... Because, like, the games had to be programmed for the analog sticks. And since those games were programmed for the flight stick, it just tricked into thinking it was the flight stick.
Okay. I get you.
So, let's see. You got...
I got, like, 2 points.
You got 2.
Yeah. Goody.
All right.
Bad week.
Sorry. What have you been playing?
I don't know. I'm playing more Fallout. It's getting hard.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, like I said, in a JRPG, I'd have somewhere to grind by now and get some experience. Just seems like fighting people is hard, especially when I'm trying to keep my dog alive. He only has 50 HP. And if he dies, he's gone. I don't want him to be gone.
You can't, like, what? Is that his max is 50?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't, like, a level up to get more?
Well, he might have leveled up, I don't know. Right now he has 50, though, so it's kind of hard and stuff. So I'm just kind of trying to find some missions and stuff that I can handle and get some XP in that.
Good, good.
Just playing Mega Man 6 just now.
Good, how's that?
It's Mega Man. It's
all right.
It's, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm at that awkward phase right now where I'm just kind of going around trying to beat bosses, trying to find that first one I can beat with just a normal Buster.
Mm.
I finally did.
Who'd you beat? Tomahawk Man, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Tomahawk Man.
All right.
Yeah, I put him in his place.
Good.
I'm playing more Soul Calibur 4. I'm not terrible anymore.
Yay!
Yeah, because before... Yeah, I was talking about how bad I was, because I was doing just like the normal online ranked match. But I went the special ranked match, which I think he actually said I should. And it turns out that the Yoshimitsu I made is actually quite powerful. Because
basically have two health bars with
it. Yeah. I played about 70 matches now, and I have about a 73% winning percentage.
Very good.
So, yes, I am doing quite all right. I almost have the 30 honors I need to unlock every piece of equipment for the creative character.
Good.
So, I am doing quite well now in Soul Calibur. Thank you, everybody.
Good.
Which is good, because all these people sent me emails like, oh, it's okay, man, that you suck at Soul Calibur. But I don't suck anymore. So, you don't have to feel sorry for me.
Very nice.
Yes. And I also played Braid.
Yes. Did we say we're gonna do the Braid post discussion in the beginning?
Yeah, but yeah. So, do you want to talk about all of it then?
Yeah, we'll save a spoilerific Braid talk at the end of the show. Yeah. But to summarize, it's awesome. Go buy it. It's worth the $15.
Yeah, So we're gonna kind of like what we did with Metal Gear. We're gonna talk about Braid kind of after the show, in a way, so...
Yeah, we'll have music and everything, so you can turn it off if you don't want to hear the spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Which I suggest you do if you haven't beaten it yet, because you do not want things in this game ruined.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, did you see Jonathan Blow's strategy guide he made for the game?
Isn't it just saying that there shouldn't be a strategy guide?
Yeah, you read, like, the first page, and it's like, you know, run to the right, go into the first world, run to the right, get the first 3 puzzle pieces, should be easy, and it's like, click for page 2, and it's like, don't use a strategy guide.
Nice.
It's pretty nice, yes. I played Braid. I played a Civ Rev game in a ranked match and lost. That kind of sucked. I made terrible mistakes at the beginning of the game. I played more of Eternity's Child, which got
a 2D game?
Yeah, on Steam, which
the one that's going to get overshadowed by Braid?
Yeah. It got a much-needed patch. Because it had this problem, I think I mentioned it last week, where when you land from a jump, there was like a kind of, you know, like landing animation, and you could not jump again until that animation finished. So it made platforming very awkward. They did patch it so I won't do that anymore, and so the game as a result is much more playable.
That's good.
The thing, it's not a bad little game. I think people thought that Braid was going to suffer from overhype for being artsy, and it really, I don't think it is, but I think this game is, because the gameplay itself is pretty simplistic. And also, did you see what happened on Destructoid with this game?
No, what happened?
They had two reviewers review it. You know, Destructoid, it's a pretty snarky site to begin with. Both reviewers gave the game a 1 out of 10. And they had very valid criticism. Like, the one reviewer, just every so often in his review, would say, jumping does not work 2/3 of the time. And then they go again, you cannot jump consistently. And it goes again, did I mention you can't jump sometimes? So, in the comments, Luke Bernard, the creator of the game, actually started getting into the mix there, which basically resulted in a lot of people saying, fuck you, Luke Bernard, which was uncalled for. But other people were saying, listen, man, you can't jump in your game. What did you expect? He tried to say that it wasn't his fault. The programmer he hired didn't want to listen to him, so it's that guy's fault. It's like, well, sorry, that's still the game you released. And then he even said, I asked this Destructoid staff to hold off on their review until I got the patch out. And they even confirmed. They said, yeah, he did say that, but we're reviewing the game you released to people to pay money for that people did pay money for. So, sorry, if you really wanted that patch out, you should have waited. And it's not like he was, rushed to release it. It was an independent release on Steam.
So, what you're telling me is that public opinion is now against this guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's too bad
for him. Admitted to being drunk while making all these comments.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, for $5, it's really not that bad. I think now the game's getting overshadowed by all this negativity around this. And
right.
For what it is, it's okay. It's got nice music.
Well, these games usually do.
Yes.
Did you play anything else? Because I just realized I didn't really.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Just a lot of Braid.
Yeah, played Braid. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Yes.
So what's coming out this week?
Okay, on the downloadable front. Last week, so we ended up getting on the Virtual Console Sonic the Hedgehog for the Sega Master System.
Was that the same one as the Game Gear version?
Yes. And Splatterhouse 2 for the Genesis. The thing is, we were supposed to get Samurai Showdown 2 for the Neo Geo and Mega Man 1 for the NES. Both companies confirmed this. SNK even went so far as to release a press release. But apparently Nintendo said, we changed our minds. We want to put out two crappy games instead.
Everyone's so mad about this. Why do you even care? You own both of those games.
Yes, I know. But I just think, I don't know, it just kind of shows like Nintendo is really kind of being like, no, you guys don't get to have any say in this, we're calling the shots, F you.
I don't see why, I think they're saying, yes, we're calling the shots in this, I don't see why they're
Capcom,
telling people to fuck off.
Capcom said on Sunday, Mega Man's coming out tomorrow.
Well, why do they get to...
I would assume they had some kind of educated information as before saying that. I don't think Capcom would just willy-nilly say things like that.
I'm sure Nintendo might have a reason. I like how people just assume that... They don't assume that Nintendo has some rational reason for doing something. They just assume that Nintendo is being a big jerk, you know?
What rational reason could there
be? I don't know, AJ. Do you have a degree in marketing or anything like that?
No.
No, we don't understand these things.
I guess. I just think it's stupid.
It's either there's a reason... Or there's no reason, and Nintendo is mean.
I like that one.
That mentality exists so often in our culture, it just boggles me. anytime any, kind of executive person makes a decision, it's because they're jerks and they hate us.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Boof freaking who. You can't play Mega Man 1, which I think we all own at least 4 times by now.
True.
Okay, we all got powered up. We all got the Anniversary Collection. We all have our NES cards somewhere. And what was the other one that was supposed to come out?
Samurai Showdown 2.
Oh, wow. Another SNK fighting game. Jesus Christ, I can't believe... Let's go to signapetition.com. God.
But we were...
I didn't own a Sega Master System. This Sonic the Hedgehog game, that might be kind of interesting.
It's the same one on the Game Gear that we had. The Master System and Game Gear were the same hardware.
Right.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that. To the point where there was actually, like some kind of converter that let you play like Master System games on a Game Gear.
Well, Game Gear is a decent looking handheld system.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the game looks better than the NES, which was kind of the Master's. I'm just surprised they made Sonic the Hedgehog games for the Sega Master. Like, they bothered. Like people.
I think it was more they made it for Game Gear and just ported it down just for kicks.
I have never in my life seen a Sega Master System.
I haven't either. I've not, like, tangibly touched one.
Yeah. They still seem like a fable to me.
They were very popular in Europe.
They come out on WiiWare.
Yes. Something called Wild West Guns by Gameloft, which I watched a video of it. It's a kind of a combination of, like, I mean, it's a light gun game. Sometimes you're just shooting targets, but other times, like, there are people thrown in, and, like, they're 3D rendered, but they're animated in a way that they look very much like the old-school mocap Mad Dog McCree type people. It was kind of strangely appealing.
Might work well with my Nyko Perfect Shot.
Yeah, like, at first, like, I read this, and I was like, oh my god, what a waste. So I was watching that video, strangely wanting to try this game. Xbox Live Arcade, of course, was the aforementioned Braid. PSN got three Talkman travel programs, I guess they really are, for the PSP. For Rome, Tokyo, and Paris. I assume there's some kind of interactive travel guides. And GameTap saw the release of Grim Little Red Riding Hood.
How many Grim episodes are out already?
Two. This is the second.
I could. What's the first one called?
The boy that, the boy that didn't know fear or something.
Okay, what's Robin? I saw, like, another thing on GameTap for one with, like, Robin Hood. I'm just so confused.
I think every week or 2 weeks or whatever, it's one based off of a Grimm fairy tale.
Okay.
So they're not continuous stories, like, episode to episode. It's just this Grimm guy who just keeps mucking up fairy tales.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the downloads. For the real things. Madden comes out this week. On the Xbox 360, PS3, PS2, PSP, DS, and the original Xbox. Which is,
really?
Yeah, kind of odd.
Interesting. Wonder why they didn't bother with the GameCube then. Question. So wait, what are they doing with the Wii version?
That is called Madden NFL 09 All Play, which is considered a separate, like, completely separate SKU.
And it still has Favre on the cover, right?
Yeah, they both have Favre.
Interesting, though.
Yep. I'm curious to really see how the all-play thing goes, because this kind of seems to be their big initiative on the Wii, and some even speculate that they'll even start releasing the all-play games on the other consoles and take the Madden itself in even a more hardcore direction. Could be interesting.
Right.
Space Siege apparently comes out this week. I had no idea. Did you play that demo?
What's a Space Siege?
Space Siege is from the guys who made Dungeon Siege, but it's in space.
Are they going to make a Uwe Boll movie off of it?
I hope not.
I hope so.
The big Dungeon Siege, you have like a big party of six. This is just you and an AI-controlled robot companion. I played the demo. It was okay. It was competent. It was more Diablo-y than like Baldur's Gate, like Dungeon Siege games were.
That's kind of neat. Maybe decent. I don't know.
The Fable 2 pub games come out this week. If you pre-order Fable 2, you get them for free at GameStop. You get like a card.
I need my card.
Yes. Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People, Episode 1, Homestar Ruiner, for Wii and PC, comes out this week.
I wouldn't try that.
Me too. Bionic Commando Rearmed comes out Wednesday.
For 360 and PS3.
Yes. Nice. It's also coming to the PC, where it will be $5 more expensive for some reason. They tried to explain
probably because they want to be jerks.
Yeah, probably. No, I think...
They explained it. They said there's something... They did explain it.
Reed, we're making up for the piracy.
Man, they should worry about that piracy a lot.
Put it on Steam and everything will be fine. I think it actually is on Steam, but it's on other things too. Dracula 3, Path of the Dragon for the PC, some kind of adventure game.
I did not know that dragons and Dracula ever crossed paths.
That'd be kind of cool.
No, it wouldn't.
Sinking Island, another PC adventure game. Ford Racing Off-Road for the PC, that sounds amazing. Bango Spirits on the DS, isn't this some kind of anime?
Maybe.
Oh, Line Rider 2 Unbound comes out for the Wii next week. This looked interesting.
Line Rider? Oh, Line
yeah,
Rider.
You ever played Line Rider?
Yeah, the Flash game.
Yeah. Once again, Baseball Mogul 2009 is listed.
I hope it finally comes out.
Imagine Teacher for the DS. And the Cheetah Girls Passport to Stardom for the DS. Apparently it's a puzzle game.
I would have imagined it would have been more of a music game, but that's just...
Who knows?
All right.
So 411.
Derek Robbins'
top 10. He has his top 10 favorite games, like, for him.
All right.
So, number 10, it's a tie between Time Splitters 2 and 3, a series I never saw the point of.
Yeah, Yeah, it has its fans, but yeah, I never quite got it. But, you know, people like it, and he likes it. Who are we to decry him?
Indeed.
Right.
Number 9 is StarCraft.
Yeah, obviously a very popular game.
Yes. Number 8 is Final Fantasy VI.
Mm-hmm. I like Final Fantasy VI quite a lot.
Yes. Number 7, Super Mario 64.
Right, it's nothing wrong
solid
there.
Solid choice. Number 6 is Disgaea.
Never played it.
Very deep and complicated. Right. I rented it once and I had no idea what I was doing.
I don't think I'm very good at those games.
No, I'm not either.
Final Fantasy Tactics, God, I was terrible.
Number 5 is the Pokemon franchise.
I'm a big Pokemon guy myself.
Number 4 is Metal Gear Solid 3.
Well, one of my favorites. That's definitely in my top 5.
Number 3 is Sonic & Knuckles with Sonic 3 locked on.
Yes. That's the best Sonic experience, probably. I think.
Yes. Number 2 is the Super Smash Bros. Franchise in general.
Yes, yes, yes.
And number 1, no surprise from him, is Earthbound.
Yes, he loves his Earthbound.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's his list. And thanks for the plug, as always.
As always, yes. And then moving on to the Merrill Barrel. First, we have an email from Mark Salmela, writer of, what's it called now? Beyond the Report.
Yeah.
So he just wanted to let us know that he's accepted a new job at theexplodingbarrel.com as co-webmaster.
Really?
Yes, he will bring pride to the site, as well as making the most popular site on the interwebs. Oh, and they're starting their own podcast. He says, we were up all night thinking of a cool name. We decided on the Exploding Barrel podcast. And since I just went out and copyrighted the term, I'm now going to sue you if you don't take down the site immediately as...
And seize the podcast. Like...
Oh.
So, wait.
That's not good.
Well, wait a second. Did you not read this before?
No.
Really?
I have.
Okay.
He said, joking, right? By the way, joking the whole time. Figured he'd say hi and tell Mike he's a weenie. He also says, oh, by the way, you better love Pixel Junk Eden. You're entitled to your opinion, but I'm entitled to the right opinion. He also thanked you for covering his column a few weeks ago.
Right. He does miss the old feud. What? So wait, is he joking even about being...
Yes, he's completely joking.
He's not on the Exploding...
Good job, Mark.
I kind of thought it'd be funny if you
We fooled him.
It'd be funny if you worked for theexplodingbarrel.com.
Yes.
Look what we just did. We actually gave theexplodingbarrel.com press.
Yeah,
our competitors. Right. Maybe. Do they even know about us?
Probably not.
We're more popular on iTunes.
Yeah.
We're far more popular.
And we're older.
Yes. We're older than them. We'll beat you up.
All right. David Redkey sends an email.
To me.
No, he sent it to both of us.
It says, Dear Mike.
Okay, then you may read it.
Dear Mike, good thing I haven't figured out how to invite a friend to fight regarding Soul Calibur 4. I have like a 60% win percentage on with Mitsurugi. I am sorry that you suck at that game. You need to specialize in one person to try to figure out what attacks you need to use in every situation. Good podcast regardless. Ciao. Yeah, thank you, David, but I'm quite good now. I'm excellent. Actually, 60%? Yeah, that's okay. But I have a 73% winning streak.
With Yoshi Mitsu.
Yeah, with Yoshi freaking Mitsu, who apparently is for weirdos. But I'm Shane pretty good. I could kick your butt all day, AJ. Yep. And then here's another email.
Yes, David sides with me. Regarding GameStop, he said, with your situation you explained, where I was kind of miffed that I got the open copy of Soul Calibur 4 from the employees thing, he said, they are selling you the store copy. That is the game that the employees can take home and play. Game should be sold as used. I understand your frustration. See? So I didn't even realize that. The employees can just take those home whenever they want, so it's still just as used.
So says David Redkey.
No, I remember, he said that, and I remember reading that.
If you claim.
Yes, I do.
Whatever. I don't know if I had any other email that wasn't from this.
We're going to assume you didn't.
Okay.
All right.
Nice. Okay, then. Is there something else we have to do?
Well, we're going to do our braid discussion.
Oh, we are going to do that in a little bit.
Yes.
I guess so. Okay. Well, then, I guess we'll do kind of goodbyes here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, okay.
For those of you who haven't played Braid yet, this is the end for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out of here. So we are the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find us on the iTunes Music Store. We are the Exploding Barrel Podcast that is more popular. just search by popularity and we'll be up there first.
Yes.
Actually, I think they call their podcast something else, but it's like explodingbarrel.com presents.
Oh, I see.
Where did they get that? We should have thought about registering that domain. Actually, no, explodingbarrel.com is taken and they made the Exploding Barrel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
explodingbarrel.wordpress.com is our site.
Yes, I am tokoto@gmail.com and AJ is ashguy711@gmail.com, so please drop us a line. We'll get you in the Merrill Barrel, get you online, and through the interwebs.
Yes, famous as can be.
Yes, join us after the break. We'll talk about Braid. People know what Braid is?
They'd better. Okay. We'll tell them.
All right.
Braid is this week's most recent Xbox Live Arcade game, created by Jonathan Blow, along with a...
That's an unfortunate name.
Yeah, I know.
I just realized
I cannot remember the lead artist on the game, although he had a phenomenal article on Comic Sutra.
He kept telling me how he made it by himself from scratch.
I was mistaken. But this artist guy, and I'm sorry I can't remember his name, he has a great article on Gamma Sutra, a 6-page article about... It just kind of deconstructs the art style of the first world, or World 2. And, yeah, it's worth reading. But, and then what he did for the music, I found out there's... If you go to Jonathan Blow's blog on the Braid website, there's some kind of website where artists can put up their music, and then you could download it, and you pick how much you want to pay, and you could also license this music. So he just got the music from there, like got the licenses for the songs he wanted. His reasoning being that since these are actual musicians who also really care about the music they're making, and that comes across in the game rather than like hiring some second-rate guy to make some music for his game, I think it worked.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But, So, yeah, I mean, like...
So, we got to talk about it. All right, so, gameplay-wise, it's a 2D platforming game with time travel mechanics.
Yes.
The basic is just sort of rewind time, and you hold down X, and you're rewinding in sort of a normal speed.
And
you
there's...
the bumpers
there's,
to go faster.
And there's no limit on your... You can rewind all the way back to the beginning of the level, which is kind of...
Right. Yeah, see, that's the problem.
No one's ever been willing to do that before.
And that's the reason these kind of... There really hasn't been a very good time traveling game. Well, people like the Prince of Persia games.
Yeah, but the time reversal in that really amounted to just lives. You only used that when you died to go back and try again.
Right.
It was never an integral part of the gameplay.
Exactly. And, like, Blink's the Cat. People were always limiting it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was a problem. I mean, there was that Time Shifters. I don't know what that was all about.
That was pretty bad.
But, yeah. So, this is really a very successful game that uses these mechanic wells. You're going through all these different worlds, and there's puzzle pieces, and if you want to just walk by the world, you can do it very quickly, but you need to get the puzzle pieces to beat the game, and you have to solve all these elaborate puzzles.
Yes, and they use time in ways I've never thought of.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that there's, every world sort of has these, just a little different twist.
Yeah, unique hook.
First off, yeah, like, the first world sort of introduces you to this idea that some things that we like highlighted green are not affected by time.
Yeah, well, that's World 3 did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, World 2 was really just teaching you to rewind time and I think take keys with you.
Okay, yeah. 3 so, yeah. was that. 3 showed you about how some things can't be affected by time. World 4, every time you move forward, time moves forward. Every time you move backwards, time moves backwards in
that
the general
was
level.
Really cool.
So that's an interesting level. And World 5, when you go back in time and rewind it, you sort of send out a shadow version of yourself that sort of does what you just did.
Yeah, so you can work in tandem with your shadow.
Which is interesting. Then World 6, you have a ring that you drop. It's like an item you can carry around and drop, and it'll create a little radius where time will be slowed down around it.
Yes.
So, what was your favorite world?
Well, then World 1, too, you should mention, which, by the way, remember, this is spoilers.
Yeah.
When you unlock all the puzzle pieces, World 1 opens up, and it is there that everything is going backwards. And when you rewind time, you're actually playing it forwards.
Right. Okay, so not really counting World 1. What was your favorite world?
Probably 5. I like the shadow mechanic.
Yeah, that was really neat.
I mean, it was really cool. It was intricate. It was just complicated enough where you had to think. But like, once you figured out the solution, like, this is true of this entire game. Once you figured out what you needed to do, you could do it.
Yeah.
It was really, you didn't figure things out by trial and error. You actually figured it out by sitting there and thinking.
Well, I think a big thing with games like this, these sort of puzzle games that aren't like Tetris style, but like sort of something like this in Portal, is that you have to have trust. Almost, there has to be a good amount of trust in the developer that there is a solution out there, and it is relatively
logical,
right?
Yeah, fits within the game,
right? And it's decent.
And then another thing, like, there's a lot of comparisons between this game and Portal. I think they're pretty apt. Both games treat the audience with respect. They don't handhold you the entire time. Like, both games leave it to you to figure stuff out because they trust you can do it.
Yeah. I had something I was gonna right on the tip of my tongue, then I lost it.
No.
Well, you say something then.
Okay.
Well, you're just gonna stare. Well, you're just gonna stare. I
thought you wanted to find it.
Okay, wait a second. We'll just have some silence, and I'll just sit here and think. Don't cover for me.
So, what I absolutely loved in this game was actually the story, which
summarize the story for me.
So.
In your words, it's all.
I'm gonna go.
It's all conveyed very vaguely.
It's got some kind of artsy prose, but before each world. So the way you kind of gather it from the play experience start to end, not necessarily the chronological story, is you're playing as this guy Tim. You know that he's trying to find the princess, and apparently they had a relationship at some point, and he screwed it up. You don't know what happened, and you're trying to find her again, and so. You know, at the end of every level, it does the kind of Mario throwback joke where some guy comes out to say the princess is in another castle. I think it's supposed to be like Yoshi or something. And then you just kind of find out more about Tim as well. You find out, like, there's one chapter where it talks about he went home for a visit and was kind of like, I can't believe I used to be like this. And then he goes by his old school. And again, he's like, I'm like so much better off now than I was. It's this very kind of vague story, but it is there that really you get the sense that he's really trying to find this princess to make up for some mistake he made. So then when you finally unlock World 1, you actually play the last stage in that world first. And this is the world where everything's playing in reverse. When you get to the final stage, which is called Braid, it starts off this kind of cutscene where you come down your door and there's nowhere for you to go, there's nothing to do. And there's this platform through the ceiling up above you. You see this kind of dude in knight's armor coming down a vine carrying the princess. And he's going, now I've got you. Then he lands on the ground with her, goes, oof. She somehow breaks free from his grasp, leaps up to a ledge. He shouts, come down here, and starts stomping on the ground while she's screaming, help, help. Then this big wall of fire comes on the left, and you and the princess are working in tandem from the top and bottom of the screen to open and close each other's doors and stuff so you can get away from this wall of fire. So you get to the end, she's back in her house, you're below it, and you now have, like, fencing you could climb to get up to her window. Now, you and I both had slightly different interpretations of what happened at the end.
It's important to remember that you kind of forget, but this world establishes that everything that's taking place in this world in real time is actually in reverse.
Yeah, you really forget that.
Right.
So you get to a point where you can't do anything until you start rewinding time. And then that's all it lets you do is just rewind time one speed. And you realize now, at least this is what I took from it.
Well, yeah, I agree with your interpretation.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. Cool.
I just didn't see it at the time.
Okay. Yeah, I had to play it twice before I figured this out. But you realize, as you're rewinding time, the princess, it looks like what before looked like such narrow escapes, it now looks like she's trying to stop you, and you're just narrowly avoiding her traps. Like, one thing you notice the first time you're going through is there's a chandelier broken on the ground, and the princess climbs by it, and then rewind time goes back into place. You're like, why'd that happen? Then when you're going, you know, backwards, which is really forwards, you realize, like, she tried to drop that on you, and you just missed it. And then, like, all these doors and stuff, it looks like she's trying to shut you out, and you're just slipping by every little trap. Then you get to that end, and she's ran out of anywhere to run. She's just screaming for help. This knight in shining armor literally appears, starts actually waving, not stomping, saying, come down here. She leaps into his arms. He says, oof, as he catches her. He leaps up to the vine and says, I've got you, like reassuring her, and climbs away. And you realize the entire time she's trying to get away from you and because apparently she hates your guts.
Yes.
Like, wow. I've never seen anything like that in a game. It was so cool.
It's interesting. So... yeah, you kind of wonder about Tim's sort of past.
Well,
oh, God.
Funny you should ask. I found, after you beat that, there's an epilogue. And you get these little story bits. They're a little
hard
bit about
interpret.
Tim. Well,
no?
I found out there's actually secret stories for each of the red books in that section.
How are you?
Now, you have not seen this. What you notice is when you read the first book, there's in every screen, there's a red book and two green books.
Right.
If you touch the green books, they shut the red book. The first red book, you can actually get out of the screen without touching any of the green ones. If you go behind like some foreground art, you hear this kind of operatic female voice just start singing a note. If you stay there for that, for just a second, the text changes to something else. And then the puzzle becomes in the rest of it to figure out how you can keep the red book open and get to wherever you need to go without touching any of the green books. And I can't remember like exactly what they say, but like the one, remember, you like it kind of like it, from what I read of it, it sounded like it was Tim learning how to actually bend time himself. And then at the end, like it says, one voice says you did it and the other voice says now we're all sons of bitches.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the alternate text for that page, it sounds like it's the princess then who, like, it's saying, you know, she's saying, how can you, you're screwing with powers beyond you. You shouldn't be doing this, but he's doing it anyway. He won't listen to her warning. There's another one that talks about him doing all these experiments on, like rat's brains and all this stuff. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, like, while he's doing all this stuff, the princess is begging for his attention, but he won't give it to her because he's so wrapped up in what he's doing. That he becomes, you know, like detached from her.
Right.
So this is, you're learning how they became separated to the point where she didn't want to have nothing to do with him anymore. Then there's the one about the candy store. It's actually his mother. And he's like it goes on about him as a kid and his mother like being like, oh, thinking he's just this kid who wants candy. Like, it's so bizarre. And actually, they were pretty tricky to figure out, the one especially.
Hmm.
So you should try that when we're done.
I should try doing that. This is sort of, weird things to think about. So, in each world represents something about Tim now?
Yeah, like the first world just represents his ability, his desire to correct any mistake. Like,
okay, yeah, so him going through worlds is him correcting mistakes, but he can't go back and fix the biggest mistake.
Right.
It's impossible.
Exactly.
So, the theme then is that, what's the moral of the story, AJ?
Oh, learn from your mistakes, but no. Like that what's done is done.
I don't know. Maybe.
Don't dwell on the past.
You can't go back?
No, you can't.
Okay. Well, I guess it's not a problem.
Well, because that becomes in World 3. There are some things that you just cannot change.
Okay.
You know, the green things, they go through time. Doesn't matter.
It's sort of interesting to try to interpretate things from a 2D platforming game.
Yeah, I know. Isn't this like fun?
Yeah.
So then, you know, World 4, where everything moves with you. I don't really understand that one yet, like what it's trying to say there.
It might just be a game. It's, like, I want to say maybe it's just a cool gameplay mechanic, but, you know, there's so much going on there.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something to it.
There's something definitely with World 6, where the ring, which I assume is some sort of, not maybe a wedding ring, but it's definitely...
It's a symbol of his relationship with the princess.
Right, and it slows down time.
And, well, when you read that text before, it talks about how He carried that ring, and people made assumptions of him because he had that ring, and it repelled them from him.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. So then he hid the ring, and now he's going to bring it back out.
Yeah. So, and then the Shadow World one, is, I think it's just like, I can't remember what the text before that one talked about.
Always strange things.
Oh, it talked about him leaving someone else, I think his mother, to find the princess. I think it really, I think it kind of dealt with that. He didn't want to leave his mother, but he felt like he had to find the princess, so it's being in two places at once.
When I read that, at first I thought it was with some, like,
another romantic interest.
Yeah, and I thought at that point that the princess was more of a metaphor, and there wasn't really a princess.
No.
Like, the princess was some sort of...
Yeah, I took it to be his mother, and then I take the whole shadow, the desire to cheat time and be at two places at once.
I buy it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you took a concept, and you really ran with it. It's a fun game.
Phenomenal game. Certainly peerless on Xbox Live Arcade or any downloadable service, I think. I think that's interesting because with the Pixel Junk games, you notice a lot of people decrying Xbox Live for its lack of the kind of more artsy and individual unique games. And then along comes this, and it's like, whoa.
We definitely needed a game like this.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely glad it's here. It's definitely worth $15.
Totally worth the $15.
Yeah, it's just a really, really good package.
Yes.
Definitely probably one of the best games I've played this year.
Definitely.
All right, well, I think we can wrap that up then.
Yeah,
we got a decent amount out of that.
If you're listening to this and you did play it, I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Yes.
Send us in your... If you have... Let's play English Club. If you have your own interpretations of the game's story elements, send them our way. We'll deconstruct it a bit. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We already gave you all our information, so we'll just thank you again, and we hope you have a good week.
Bye.